The message that I have today is primarily aimed towards the younger ones among us. That is because today our children are growing up in a world that is full of violence. No matter where one looks, and this is especially true if you look at the Middle East, it is violent. If one examines the games that youngsters play today, particularly their computer games, many of us would be truly appalled. It may not be that every game that is played, but an increasing number of these so-called games today were, just a few years ago, the desensitizing games used by the various arms of the military to desensitize soldiers, that is, fighting men, so that they could go out and kill without a qualm. Aggression seems to be everywhere. Television programs are full of violence. Very often, news channels show graphic reports of violence and its aftermath. The police in the United Kingdom keep telling us that violent crime has gone down in recent years. But this is either a pipe dream, wishful thinking, or blatant propaganda, since reports of violent crime are in no way uncommon. Much of this aggression stems from the fact that a vast number of people either have never been taught to control their temper or have been taught to go out and take vengeance at the earliest opportunity. A phenomenon that is referred to as road rage is a case in point. As a result, we see that violence, nations battle each other, terrorist groups terrorise civilian populations around the world. Gangs of youths roam the streets of our cities. We see violence in marital situations, on the roads, and in the execution of criminal acts. In contrast to the situation that we find ourselves in today, I remember a teacher of mine from about 65 years ago, Miss Elliot. I don't believe that I ever knew her first name. One was simply not told that sort of thing in those days. One day, this Minster lady asked us all a question in her class. I don't exactly remember how she phrased it. It could have been quite a rhetorical question, because I believe she went straight into her subject, her rule for life. Miss Elliot went straight to Scripture. Banned nowadays, of course, but not back then. This is a great shame, because the youngsters today have a desperate need to learn and to practice a way of life that does not give tit for tat. Today, in the time which is available to me, I would like to draw our attention to that passage of Scripture which was taught to me more than 60 years ago. The earlier that this is learnt, the better it will be for the student. That particular passage contains a rule for life which, if we genuinely apply it to our lives, will bring us blessings and contentment. The added bonus being that this is something that we'll be teaching in just a few short years to a whole raft of people in the cities that we'll be ruling. Please would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 12, which is where we will begin. I remember talking to Mr. Henderson a few days ago. We were discussing violence on the earth, and I just happened to mention how I'd like to treat some of the people that are the perpetrators of some of these violent crimes, to which Mr. Henderson replied, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We both had a good chuckle because I was not being particularly charitable in the way that I would have dealt with the particular people who are doing these sort of things. Here in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 12, we find the words that Miss Elliot drew the attention of her class to all those years ago. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." It really is something so basic. We have all read these words. I suspect that the adults practice them here as part of their everyday behaviour. But the question arises, have the very young ones been taught this way of life? In some ways, it is a bit of a get way, because we all want to be treated fairly. We want to be treated in a friendly manner by our peers, by our elders, by our parents and by our siblings. It is a truism that if we respond in the same way that the world responds, that we will have real problems. We live in a now generation, and patience is often in short supply. Tempers do fray, sometimes just a touch too quickly. Sometimes our voices are too demanding. But our response should always be cool and calm. It was not for nothing that King Solomon recorded the proverb that a soft answer turns away wrath, whereas harsh words stir up anger. One of the phrases describing the patience and character of God should give us a clue to the type of people that we should be if we are to become the spirit-born children of God. We are supposed to be growing up to become like our Saviour, who is described as being merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. If we look up the phrase slow to anger in our concordances, we will find more than half a dozen entries. And it is said that if something is repeated in Scripture, it is important. And my Bible concordance program on my computer at home came up with at least 8 entries. So it is very, very important. If we now turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, we will find another helpful guide to the way that we should be striving to live. Here the Apostle Paul is emphasizing the need to live a quiet and peaceful life. We know that this ideal may not always be possible because of the actions of other people. Regardless of the provocations, we should do our utmost to respond in a manner that we would like to be treated ourselves. Here in Romans chapter 12 and verses 17 to 19 we read these words. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. It does take a great deal of self-control to refrain from hurting from somebody when you yourself have been hurt or upset. We have to keep ourselves clear-headed and cool-tempered. It sometimes takes courage to refrain from an immediate response. We need to remember the type of character that we are to develop, being merciful and gracious and slow to anger. This is part of a goal for life. It is part of the life where love rules. That is outgoing, caring love that our Saviour displays towards each and every one of us. When I think of the things which I have done in my lifetime, it has not always been those things that I've done to others which I would like them to have done to me. Sometimes it's been the very opposite. I remember a lesson taught to me, it may have been by my grandfather, about controlling my temper. And my grandfather died when I was about 8 years old, so it's a good while ago. I was told that if I was angry or really upset, to count to 20 before I made any response or did anything at all. Sometimes when I got to 19, I found I'd all but forgotten the cause of the problem in the first place. The blood cools by the time you get to 19, and it's certainly cooler by the time you get to 20. And so, you know, you're now in a situation where you can reasonably either respond to the situation or completely ignore it, depending upon the circumstances that are involved at the time. Solomon also had a proverb for the quick temper when he recorded that he who that has no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It means you fall prey to all sorts of problems. If we fail to master our emotions and emotional responses, we will lose sight of everything that we're striving for and that we hope for. We will have to be peaceable, mild-mannered, and slow to anger. In what has become known as the Beatitudes, found in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, Jesus Christ made a number of statements that would appear to fall on deaf ears in just the 21st century. Precious few mourn for the state of our country. Precious few are willing to be taught anything at all. People are proud, full of self-importance, while the peacemakers would appear to be a dying breed. Here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, we read the following words. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Nothing that I have said here is new to any one of us. It is the simple formula that we will have to teach in the future, showing people how to have a peaceful existence. We all want to live in peace, and since that is true, we have to be peacemakers. It follows that peacemakers are peaceable people, who treat others in the way that they themselves would like to be treated. This is really very, very basic. If our neighbours out there in the world controlled their emotional responses and their tempers, this world would not experience half the problems that it has today in a world of violence and aggression. So we live by the golden rule of being ready to treat others with whom we come in contact in the same manner that we would like them to treat us. It is a peaceable way of life. Then as peacemakers, we will become the children of God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And the one key is to do to others that which we would have them do to us.